My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Let's talk.
John Brown.
In the heart of every elephant family, there is a mother. She remembers. She leads. She loves. Elephants are some of the most intelligent beings we share the planet with. They mourn their dead. They recognize themselves in mirrors. They remember waterholes from decades past. And they never forget a friend or a threat. But across Africa and Asia, matriarchs are being killed. Calves are orphaned. Ancient memory is vanishing. Not just elephant memory, but the living memory of the land. This World Elephant Day, we honor the mothers, memories, and matriarchs, the leaders of elephant society, and we stand with those who protect them. Because when an elephant is lost, we lose a story, we lose wisdom, we lose a piece of ourselves. Join us. Protect the memory keepers. Honor the matriarchs. Let elephants grow old.
The voice of Daryl Hannah, the music of Peter Gabriel. Tomorrow is World Elephant Day. The Emerging Storytelathon is a platform for awareness, advocacy and action, driving a real change for elephants worldwide. I am delighted to be joined by Patricia Sims, founder and executive director of World Elephant Day, as well as old friend of the station. He's been on before, Greg Cummings. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Whereabouts are you, by the way, this morning? Are you somewhere on an elephant reservation? Are you looking at the, you know, the wildebeest and the elephants, you know, doing the migration? Where are you today, you two?
We wish.
Yeah, we wish.
We're in Vancouver Island.
Ah, okay. Well, great to have you with us. Now, for those who don't know, because a lot of us will perhaps know about the problems that elephants have worldwide, but we thought we kind of had a handle on this. You know, I mean, I'm in my late 50s. I've known about this for 40 years or so. So why is this still happening? Why is this still happening, please?
Why are we still having problems for elephants?
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, the problems haven't really been solved. I mean, there's been attempts. You know, certainly if we look at this issue with the poaching crisis, there's been some small victories. There's been some enforcement policies put into place by many countries around the world, but it still goes on. There's still poaching. And on top of that, some of the bigger problems that have emerged is habitat loss. Largely climate change based, but also because human population is expanding. And so it's encroaching upon habitat for elephants. And so elephants and people are competing. And that's a lot of problems for elephants.
It creates a human elephant conflict situation where, you know, these are poor farmers and people who are just trying to, you know, survive. And they have to contend with clashes with these huge pachyderms. And at the same time, they don't want to harm the elephants, but they're also trying to, you know, feed their kids.
Yeah. I mean, is this an African situation, or because Patricia, you've been involved in Thailand. You've made several sort of award-winning documentary about the elephant situation in Thailand. So is this both Asian and African elephants we're looking at here?
Yes, it is. And in fact, interestingly, The issues in Asia for human-elephant conflict have been escalating for a few decades, and the Asian elephant is actually an endangered elephant. There's less than 40,000 Asian elephants left. The African elephant, most people were hearing about the poaching crisis, but as things have evolved, more development taking place in African countries, the problem is now escalating in Africa as well. So human-elephant conflict is a growing problem in all the range states where elephants live.
It's always a difficult one, isn't it? So the balance of, you know, people in these societies saying, well, we want to be more developed. We want to build train links, housing estates. We want to be, you know, we are the new Africa. And we see it worldwide with quote unquote, and this is not appropriate terminology, the third world wanting to develop. We see it in the Amazon. We see it all over. And who are we as first, you know, if you like, as developed societies, quote unquote, to preach to people who have very little indeed. And it's, you know, it is like, if you like, they want to, become more advanced. Greg.
No, but I think, if you were to ask the average, you know, person living in these countries, if they would, you know, rather not have elephants in their lives, I think, and I'm not talking about necessarily people at the conflict edge, but, you know, the emerging middle class in Kenya and Tanzania and various other range states, they are starting to take on the conservation message. And this is where we're encouraging the Emerging Storyteller Fund, people who are at the grassroots, who know the problem, who tackle the problem, and are finding solutions.
So this today, the Tomorrow World Elephant Day, and the short video clip I played with Daryl Hannah narrating is called Matriarchs and Memories. What's that about?
Well, it's a theme that we developed for this year for World Elephant Day, and wanted to really shine a light on the matriarchs, because elephants are matriarchal societies. And it's the matriarchs who really lead the family and the herd through the landscapes, take care of them. This wisdom that's generated over in fact from generation to generation. It's passed down. Elephants have a highly social life, and they're very much connected to each other emotionally. Their family ties are very strong. So the matriarch really is a symbol, and we too in our human society have matriarchs, and we wanted to empower the women-led societies that we all know can run very, very well. And so this was really an idea that was going to really bring forward, you know, the honoring of that memory and the value and how that can be passed forward. And so the matriarch theme became really the inspiration for the Emerging Storyteller Fund.
And this whole thing,
that these stories can be brought forward by the voices of tomorrow.
This whole thing about the elephant never forgets, which is perhaps, the one that anybody's ever been to knows about elephants. But this is actually, it's actually true. They remember waterholes. They remember places to go to in a highly evolved way.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. It's part of their survival mechanism. You know, that's how they survive, you know, and there's, you know, the ancestral memory is really interesting. And we hear all kinds of stories of elephants, you know, the auspicious elephant graveyard, you know, where they go and see the bones of their deceased ancestors and so on, and how they remember where those are. And that's actually been documented. So, you know, the elephant has a lot of qualities that I believe humans share or should strive to have if they don't have them.
Yeah, I mean, their empathy shines through. There's one example of a story of an adult elephant who was trying to rescue a rhinoceros, a baby rhinoceros, from the mud. And despite the fact that this rhino's mother kept attacking, charging the elephant, she continued to try and rescue this baby rhinoceros from a different species. I mean, can there be a greater demonstration of altruism than that behavior?
Tell us a little bit about this, the Emerging Storyteller Fund. What is it, and who are we trying to empower here?
Well, it'll be a grant making fund, Our intention is to put together a fund that will have a sufficient monies that we can distribute grants, small grants, maybe $1,000 to $5,000 to these emerging stories. So people in Africa and Asia who we know of already, who are, you know, they're really taking the elephant by the tusks and getting out there and telling these stories themselves. It's no longer a kind of us in the developed world trying to sort of bring the narrative to the underdeveloped world. It's them taking control of this now.
We want the stories to be told by grassroots initiatives, you know, people, yeah. The next generation of conservationists who are living on the front lines of elephant conservation and having a really living it. And the perspectives, I think, are important because these are people who have the ability to share firsthand experiences.
I mean, social media, the fact that anybody's got a smartphone in their hand is now a filmmaker. Don't wince, Greg, is a filmmaker, etc. We tend, again, as developed world, we tend to look at, you know, Africa as a general, you know, continent, and I know, don't wince again, Greg, but there, you know, and here in the quote unquote developed world, we're always going on about young people, Generation Z, they're always on their phones, millennials, etc. Is there a grassroots of young Africans, of young Asians, again, a huge broad term, who are doing this? Because again, we look, you know, yeah, sorry, yeah.
Absolutely. Yes. In fact, you know, I was in Kenya last year for World Elephant Day, and I had the opportunity to meet several incredibly impressive young conservationists coming into, you know, into their early professional lives and totally dedicated to preservation of their heritage, because wildlife there, elephants, all the wildlife is part of who they are. And, you know, they can utilize a lot of these tools that are, you know, second nature, you know, the various social media tools, telling stories with cameras or podcasting or public speaking. You know, there's many, many different ways that young people can start expressing their experiences and their perspectives.
What's the impact, perhaps, of, I mean, because people want to go to Africa. Greg, you, of course, last time we spoke about Rwanda and your work there and ethical tourism, because it is a thing. If I go from Europe, I want to see the big five, you know, I want to do the trip and the whole bit. But we don't maybe think about the knock-on effect of that tourism on the whole infrastructure and ecosystem. So what are the problems with, if you like, unethical tourism to those parts of the world? And also obviously Thailand, because somebody goes to Thailand, you can't move from pictures of somebody washing an elephant or something like that.
Yes. Well, it, you know, it really varies from country to country, right? When we get into what are the ethical, you know, ways to encounter elephants. Certainly in Asia, it's a lot more complex because of the human proximity. And there are a lot of Asian elephants in captivity. I mean, the Thailand tourism industry is rooted in captive elephants and performing in show rings. I mean, India is the same, you know, the shift of awareness that is happening in Asian countries on the ethics and how to encounter elephants in a natural way where you're seeing them behave as elephants and not as performers is happening more and more. Africa's been different because, you know,
you have a hard time capturing an African elephant, but also there you have rogue, you know, tour guides not following the rules. A place like the Mara, when the Great Migration happens, people pour in there in huge numbers, and it's become a problem lately. And they really are trying to control it. So, yeah, in a sense, there is a tourism impact in Africa, but it's very much a different thing. And you know, the game park experience and the safari business very much contributes to conservation in Africa. It's not the same setup where you've got people watching, you know, captive animals perform as they do in Asia.
The talking about sort of the funding, obviously the government in the United States cut off all aid to Africa, you know, the USAID grant freezes. There are knock-on effects to this, and obviously, while it's been devastating for general health in Africa, while, you know, wildlife charities, conservation projects have been stalled as well. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, in a lot of cases, the larger international NGOs were relying upon US aid grants, which then would be dispersed into sort of smaller initiatives that they were partnered with in these countries. That got cut off. And so it kind of left the smaller organizations, like the middle to small grassroots organizations, left without any form of funding, because that whole stream of money was basically frozen. So it put a lot more emphasis on the smaller organizations to find other ways to raise funds for their initiatives and their programs, because they can't really rely on the government granting system that they had been.
Yeah, we have found that the climate for philanthropy at the moment is really low. You know, as an experienced fundraiser, I'm surprised at how difficult it's been to try and raise money on for this campaign. You know, we've got all the elements. Hopefully, on World Elephant Day, the actual day, we'll see a bounty of donations come in.
So what's the plan for, because tomorrow is World Elephant Day?
Well, we want people to go to worldelephantday.org. There's everything you need to know about how to get involved and what you can do. And so worldelephantday.org is really your one go-to place for World Elephant Day.
The website has a number of different pages of how people can help elephants, how people can support. You know, there's all kinds of activities. There's so many different organizations that are doing all kinds of important work for elephant conservation in Africa and Asia. So we have a pretty big knowledge hub and resource pages on the worldelephantday.org website.
Yeah, and great stories on this theme of matriarchs as well that we've been putting up in the last couple of weeks. So there's a lot to inspire. There's a lot to get people involved. And definitely check out worldelephantday.org.
So when we speak this time next year, as we will do, what are you hoping? What are you hoping that we can do short term and long term?
Well, what I hope for now is that we can build this Emerging Storyteller Fund so that we will have the opportunity to provide funding to some of these fantastic people that are doing amazing work in these areas that we're familiar with. And that will be, for us, a big success story that we've been able to empower that. The communication and the building of awareness, because fundamentally that's what World Elephant Day does. Every year we bring awareness to the plight of elephants, and it really galvanizes public attention at a global level. I mean, when I launched this in 2012 and what it's grown to today in terms of becoming really a global movement for elephants, every year, August 12th, the world comes together and makes a difference in all kinds of different ways. So,
yeah, I think we're hoping to build on this this year with next year, because we've opened some doors, and it'd be interesting to see, you know, the sponsorship possibilities, get some media companies involved, and also look for grants to help, you know, build up this fund. So, yeah, we're going to continue to build on this, and next year, hopefully, we'll have
we'll have the first storytellers. We'll have the first storyteller stories that'll be available.
Yeah.
You know, whether they be, you know, little documentaries or podcasts, or, you know, that's kind of the dream.
And the other thing is, of course, is we talk about matriarchs here, but with these stories, you're empowering women who are telling these stories, and you're also empowering indigenous people, rather than it being a European thing, say, or an American saying, you know, here we are, look, an elephant.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. It's really people who are living it, you know, and then sharing those stories, which is going to build more support. I mean, everybody loves elephants, and people want to have those experiences and to be able to go to these places and understand them better because they've been able to research and be educated. So you have travelers going into these environments that are now informed. And so the level of appreciation is that much more amplified as a result.
And there's been a paradigm shift in conservation towards this indigenous grassroots led locally led. It's happening all over the world. I mean, why wouldn't the people who live closest to a habitat have the most vested interest in protecting it? I mean, these are assumptions we make. No, throw a fence around it. No, electrify the fence. No, arm the rangers and keep everybody out. Well, you know, there's a combination of these things is needed. Yes, you have to maintain the integrity of the habitats, but at the same time, you have to recognize that the people who live closest to these animals are often the ones who have the most, you know, reason to save them.
If people want to find out more information, get involved. I know you've got web pages. So here's your 30 seconds to let people know where they can find you, where they should follow you, and where can they can find more information.
All right. WorldElephantDay.org. That's the place to go. And everything is there. All of our social media pages and all of the background and how you can help. And of course, how you can donate and support World Elephant Day this year. And in particular, help us build this Emerging Storyteller Fund.
And we're on all the social media platforms.
Yeah, exactly. As the saying goes, Greg, you're never backwards in coming forwards, as the saying goes.
And well, another great thing that people can do too is this year I put up on the World Elephant Day YouTube channel the feature film that we produced a few years ago called When Elephants Were Young, which was really part of the start of World Elephant Day, narrated by William Shatner. And it's a feature film that really portrays a lot of the issues in Thailand. But it's a great opportunity. The film's available on our YouTube channel for free for the next month. People can have World Elephant Day fundraising parties on World Elephant Day in the comfort of their own home, watch the movie, get a bunch of people together and make a difference for elephants.
Yeah. I mean, William Shatner came to Mobair to promote his film Gonzo Ballet about 12 years ago. He is a memorable character, isn't he?
He is, yes.
Absolutely is. He narrated two elephant films for us, and he was remarkable to work with. And he really, really embodies the spirit and voice of the elephant.
Listeners, get involved. Patricia, just give me one more time. Just plug the website again.
WorldElephantDay.org.
Now, I know you're both busy, and I know it must be ridiculously early over there in Long Vancouver. Exactly. But Patricia and Greg, lovely to see you again. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you. We really enjoyed talking to you.
Pleasure. Thank you very much.